I'm excited to be with you tonight. I know that every single one of you has things going on in your life, good things, hard things, challenging things, ups and downs. But the fact that you chose to be here with your brothers and sisters in Christ tonight and to encourage each other and to study the scriptures together means the absolute world to all of us. So thank you for being here. I also get the privilege of introducing my friend, Evangelist Willie B. Williams III, who's a native of Houston, Texas, and a graduate of ACU. In 2008, Brother Willie shared the good news with some of his neighbors. There was two baptisms, and after that, the North Colony Church of Christ was born. They began to meet in his living room, and now he continues to minister to that congregation. They continue to grow. He continues to share the good news. He is a powerful evangelist and preacher of the gospel, and I am thankful to call him my friend. So, Brother Willie, I'm going to ask you to come up. We're going to pray together, and then he's going to preach the word to us. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. Father, thank you for Brother Williams, and Father, thank you for the work that he's doing. Thank you for the North Colony congregation. Father, I thank you for all of the congregations in this North Texas area that can work together as brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage each other, to spread the good news, to be salt and light in these communities. And Father, I pray that you bless our relationships with one another. Father, I pray that you bless Brother Williams tonight as he preaches the good news to us. May you be glorified and may we be edified. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Preach the word, brother.
Bless you. I want to say good evening to each and every one of you. Don't be sadiddy. Come on, don't do that. Don't do that. Let's do that again. I want to say good evening to each and every one of you. Good evening. Good to see each and every one of you. There's a word from God that I would like to develop on tonight. So thankful for your leadership and Brother Wes and the invitation on tonight to deliver and share God's word. And I'm excited, hopefully through various scriptures, various illustrations, hopefully we'll all draw closer to Jesus Christ on tonight. That is our intent and our purpose on studying God's word. I do bring you greetings from the North Colony Church of Christ, where we have been there now for 17, this year will be 18 years in serving. And so, yes, I am 18 years old. And so it's been a blessing to have labored and served in that space. So thankful also for the relationship that I have with your minister here. I believe in Jesus and brisket, and that's how we meet on a monthly basis. He's not just a good person, but he's not judgmental. He cares. He listens. And those are the deposits that he has placed in my personal walk, in my personal life. So I'm so thankful that I have the opportunity to be able to even reach out to him. And have that that type of relationship. My lesson on tonight is deeper obedience. My lessons on tonight is over deeper obedience. I'll be coming from 1 John chapter 5. As you turn there, my favorite songs actually become one of my my song that I use in different seasons and different times that helps me get me through. As you are on your way to 1 John, amen. If you're in John, welcome. Welcome to Bible class. If you are in Revelation, you went too far. I want you to come on back. But we'll be in 1 John chapter 5. If you don't mind singing a verse of a song with me, and then we'll dive in on tonight, amen. Why did my Savior come to and to the humble, and why did he choose the lowly? Because he loved. love me so, and he loved, Jesus loved me so. And Jesus loved me so. I know he gave his precious life for me, because he Jesus comes, I'll sing his praise, and the humble go and reign with him through endless. Yeah. Jesus loved me so, and Jesus loved me so, and I know he gave his precious life for me, he loved me so. Gary Chapman was having some marital problems, and as he was having some marital problems, he thought the problem was his wife. He said the problem was his wife. Good job. No men said amen. He thought the problem was his wife. They were going back and forth. They were having arguments. He loved her, but it's always a misunderstanding. He would express, she would express, and they were never on the same page. And so one day he began to look in the mirror. And as he was starting to look in the mirror, he started to do some research. At that particular time, it wasn't a lot of books on marriages. It wasn't a lot of books on relationship. Now, he was convinced and convicted, surely, his wife is the problem. But when he started reading the Bible and he started looking at some things in the scriptures, he came through some things. He had some revelations. And then he wrote this book. Many of you are familiar with this book. It was the five love languages. For those of you who are not aware of the five love languages, this book is centered around the needs of individuals. And he says, everyone, you may desire all five, but there is one that truly connects with you. And so he talks about these five love languages, and one of them is quality time. One of them is quality time. Quality time is, listen, I want you to clear your schedule. I want you to sit next to me. I want you to just be in the room. You have energy, I have energy. You have a vibe, I have a vibe. Listen, I want you to make some time. Let's go for a walk. Let's go to the movies. Matter of fact, it really doesn't matter what we do. What I need is, what's love to me is when you carve out time, and when I see that you carve out time, you know what I feel? I feel love. And then he moves on to another one. For some people, it's quality time. For other people, it's gifts. It's gifts. It's gifts. Big gifts, small gifts, Dollar General gifts. Gifts. What it shows is, what's love to them is, you've thought about me. You've thought about me. And not only did you think about me, even if it was really, really small, even if it was really, really small, that you thought about me and you went and got it, and maybe you packaged it. Maybe it has nothing to do with the gift. It was the effort and the time that you put in to prepare something for me. And it could be a piece of candy. And you come home and you say, hey, listen, I got you a Butterfinger. I thought about you. And the person feels so good because it was a little bitty candies. Because you know you're watching your sugar. And you open and he said, oh, and you feel special. And what you start to realize is, for some people, their love language is gifts. For some people, their love language is quality time. And then he moves on and he says, for some people, it's acts of service. For some people, it's acts of service. If you really want to communicate love to someone, it's acts of service. And so, hey, listen, don't worry. I got that. For some of y'all don't know what I'm doing. I'm washing dishes. Somebody said, what is that? Washing dishes, put them up. It's acts of, it's cleaning out. It's sweeping. It's cleaning up. And putting up in it. Folding, for those of you, folding clothes, put in there. And when a person sees that, matter of fact, nothing has been said. There's been no intimacy or interaction, just the act of service. And when you step in and you do something and you helping and you putting up and you putting the kids to bed and you setting this, and the person says, I feel love. I feel love. He didn't realize that some people's love language is acts of service. And then he moves on and he realized he had discovered another one. Another one is words of affirmation. Oh, I want to let you know it was good that you cleaned up and sweep, and it was wonderful that you made some time for me, and it was good that you did this, and it was good that you did that, but at some point in the day, I need you to open up your mouth and whisper sweet nothings in my ear. He realized this is good for both men and women because everybody has a love language. Every now and then, sisters tell him, I love the way you put on that shirt. Oh, he gonna be at Walmart buying shirts for the rest of the year because the way you just spoke his love language. And so sometimes you can have something in your heart. But for some people, if you never say it, it's never real. It's not real unless it comes out of your mouth. Baby, you so smart. Words of affirmation. You so smart. You did that thing. Now, because you're a Christian, you can't lie. So if you got somebody that ain't smart, what you say is, baby, you so strong. You got to find, you pick your... You gotta tell the truth, but you gotta pick the right spots. So he realized it's words for affirmation. There's some people, you gotta talk to them. You can work all day long, but they don't feel love until you say something. And then we go to the fifth one, and the last one, I believe it's physical touch. Physical touch. And you can say, I love you all day long, and you can work around them, and then you can clear your whole day and have all that quality time. And you can come in the house with gifts and bags and all of that kind of stuff. But if you don't give me a hug, if you don't touch me, if you don't hold my hand, at least poke at my shoulder or something. Let me know that I exist. For some people's love language, it's touch. It's a touch. It's like when I talk to you and I just grab your hand and I let you know it's good to see you. Don't underestimate these languages, even in the Lord's house, because for some of you, you may not realize, nobody tells me that I'm important until I come to the church. For some of you, you may not realize they don't get hugs all week long until they come here. And then they sit next to you. It's okay, look at your neighbor. Then they sit next to you. And for some people, nobody speaks good to them. Nobody touches them. Sometimes after service, we're so quick to leave. And there are some people, you don't know their living situation. Or you don't know that they deal with loneliness, or they deal with abandonment, or they deal with other stuff. And so sometimes just to be in the house of the Lord, and then you make time, you make like quality time, and you lean across the chair and you ask them, so how's it going? And they look around and they say, you talking about me? Yeah, you don't have somewhere to go? I mean, maybe, but I just wanted to make some, I want to get to know you. How you doing? For some people, you don't even understand. The sermon that they really look forward to is after service. It's the sermon you all preach, how you interact with each other. Those are the five love languages Gary realized. He said his marriage changed after that because he realized that he was speaking a language and he was doing things that he thought was love but wasn't communicating. Until he sat down and really spoke to his wife, he found out that all of this time he was doing all of this good work, but he really wasn't communicating love to her. So she was feeling unloved, even though he was doing all of these things. And so Gary, he brings up five. But there's a sixth love language. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, and here we are. 1 John, chapter 5, and the Bible says in verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God. We know that we love the children of God when we love God, and we keep his commandments. For those of you who write in your Bibles, or for those of you taking notes, I want you to put a star by verse 3. The Bible says, for this is the love of God. Now, I may have just mentioned one of your love languages, and as I was going through, you may have said, oh, Brother William, that's it. That one right there, that one's mine. That you, if you do that, I feel love. And there are some where sometimes when you get your needs met, you feel like if you feel good, you think everybody around you feel good. It happens to me sometimes. When I eat dinner, I feel like everybody full. hey, we all good because I just ate. And sometimes you can get your needs met. Sometimes you can get your needs met and everybody in the room could be still starving. Sometimes God can tend to you, but you don't tend to him. Have you ever extended yourself to somebody and you was there for somebody and you love somebody, but they didn't see you? Sometimes you can be so fulfilled in receiving that you never turn around and ask, God, are you satisfied with me? If I ask you tonight, how are you doing? Some of you will say, I'm blessed, I'm well. Some of you will say, God is good. And what you're telling me is, you're telling me how God has covered you. My question though, are you good to him? Is this a one-way relationship? You complain if his blessings are delayed. I see how some of you act when your Amazon packages don't arrive when they say they're going to arrive. You get angry. Some of we have the same attitude toward God, and he still loves you. and he still blesses you. Some of you have spent years away from the church and you came back, and you know what you met at the front door? The love of God. He's been there for you. And even in the seasons when you wasn't right, and even in the seasons when you were out there in the world, his love was still covering you. What I'm trying to say is his love is amazing. What is yours? The Bible says, for this is the love of God. Well, what is the love of God? I know the other languages. The question is, what's his language? Don't love me the way you like to be loved. Don't fix what you like for me. Don't prepare a gift that you really enjoy and then give it to me and expect me to have the same excitement, because that's not my gift. That's your gift. Like, here's another way of saying it. Don't sing to me based upon how you feel. Sing to me based upon who I am, not how you feel. Our worship service is not supposed to reflect how much rest you got. Our worship service is supposed to be a reflection of his majestic holiness. It should be a reflection of his deep love and power, his authority, his kingship. You're singing to a king. I need you to sit up. I need you to give the best that you have. Like when you pray, I don't need you to be fiddling around. I want to let you know the king is here. And when the king is here, I need you to love him on his level and stop giving God the stuff that you like. See, you will say something like, oh, that don't bother me. But we're not asking you what bothers you. We're trying to find out, because if you're trying to love someone on their level, you're trying to find out what their language is, and then you got to give them their language. Other than that, it's a one-sided relationship. It's a one-sided relationship. What you're saying is, if I give you a fry, you ain't going to give me a fry back? You telling me if I give you some juice, I can't get some juice back? You telling me basically if I give to you, you can't give back to me? And here's the beautiful thing about God. God never asks anything from you without first providing it to you, so I know you got it. My mama used to come to me. She said, give me. And I was like, no. She said, she would tell me, well, the reason you have it is because I gave it to you. And I'm not asking it from you to rob you. I supplied it to you. Matter of fact, I gave you more than what you really even needed. So if I ask for a little bit back, stop looking like you inconvenienced. Because the time that you have, the gifts that you have, the energy that you... Do you know some people can't even make it off their sick bed, but you have the ability to come. Hey, but if you're going to come, like, really show up. Really give God everything that you have. So he says, for this is the love of God. Here's the question, what is the love of God? The Bible says in verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his what? That we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not what? And they're not grievous. Stop acting like this is heavy. This is not heavy. He's not asking a lot from you. For this is the love of God. God said, you want to know what my love language is? Obedience. Every time you obey me, you are sending a love note to God. I love you. Every time you get a chance to either do this or do that, and every time you deny yourself and you do what God asks you to do, you are sending a love note to God. I love you. So God says, ooh, you know what he said in the Old Testament? He said, if I had to choose between the love language of a gift or a sacrifice and obedience, you know what he said? You can keep the gift. Give me obedience. Because the love language to God is obedience. But my subject is not obedience. My subject is a deeper obedience, which implies that there are levels to this thing. I remember going to my father, and I said, "Daddy, I need some lunch money." And my father, he would dig and get the lunch money. But what he didn't realize is on that day, they had nacho cheese, Dorito packets with chili cheese. They had chili cheese packets that day. They were a little bit more expensive than the regular lunch. And so I said, "Daddy, can I have some lunch money?" And he went in and got my lunch money. But I said, "Daddy, could you dig a little bit? Could you dig a little bit deeper? Because there's some things that I'm expecting. What I'm trying to let you know, it's all lunch, but there's levels to this thing. there's levels to it. So it's one thing to obey. It's another thing to obey deeper. And just like when you're in the kiddie pool, just know, if you go a little bit further, you can go deeper. Somebody said, "Well, how deep we trying to get? What does it mean to not only just obey, but to obey deeply?" I would have to look at love. Because God's love language is obedience. And I want to love God. But I don't want to just love God on the surface like I want to get. I want to love him deeply. Some people may love you, but they don't love you. They don't love you deeply. What does that look like? Then I begin to realize that loving God to obey means I have to consider and think of you. If I'm gonna obey, there were times I was out there playing in the street with my friends and we was going out. And I remember this one particular time, had a friend named Harold. Harold said, "Hey man, let's break into that house." And I said, and then I thought about it. I thought about switches and belts. I thought about the wrath of God through the hand of my father. Several things came across my mind. And here's what obedience is. Obedience is, I thought about you. And whatever I do next is based upon what I think about you. I understand why God, he values obedience, because obedience is a reflection of what you think about another person. For those of you who are married, brothers, you're on your way home from work, and I know what you're looking at. You're looking at Sonic. I know what you're looking at. You swing through Sonic because you're just going to pick up a little something because they got the tater tots that you like. So you swing through Sonic and you're just going to get a little something, just a little something to nibble on and eat. But then you think to yourself, "Wait a minute. I can't walk in this house smelling like tater tots. And I didn't get her anything. How can... How is it that I can go pick me up something and I don't think? And so sometimes that can be. And so sometimes before you go home, you may not even go to some, because that may not be her love language. You might swing by Dave's Chicken or something. Or you might go by Chick-fil-A because you like she. That's a sandwich that she like, and you go pick it up. And when you come home, you not only had something for you, but you said, "I thought about you." Obedience is when I thought about you, and the next thing I did is how much I value you. So to love deeply means my consideration of God goes to another level. We're gonna try to bring it home because I know McDermott believes in signs and wonders and miracles, because my sermon's supposed to only be so short, and so it's a miracle. Y'all believe in raising the dead still? So I want to conclude here. Genesis chapter 6. And I want to look at verse 5. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And the Bible reads in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. Notice the next word. I'm in the King James, God authorized version. That the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The word imagination in that text, what it means is, the word imagination means a frame. That's what the word imagination in that text means. It means a frame. So I want you to imagine a picture frame, right? A frame has borders to it. The Bible says in verse 5 that when God looked at the frame of their imagination, within that frame, they never thought about him. I don't care what relationship we have. This can never be a healthy relationship if you never considered my feelings. You never thought about me. You never considered how I would feel. Do you know what it means to love and obey deeply? It's not just you think about God on your way to Bible class. It's not that you think about God on your way to worship. But when you wake up on Monday morning and you're getting dressed, I think about you. And when God looks at your frame, he says, "Ah." Not everybody in here is in love. I'm not saying you don't love God. I'm just saying everybody ain't in love. Because to be in love, the thoughts never end. It's continual. And God is looking in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. How is it I created you? I've given you life. And I've done all of these things for you. And you never thought about me? You never considered me? Like when you go to work, like you don't thank me? When you come home from work and you make it home safely, you still don't think about me? When you go cash your check, you don't say, "Thank you, Jesus." When you eat your tater tots, you don't pray and say, "Thank you." And when you finish your food, somebody said, "I've already prayed for my food." But when you're in love, I like to talk to him during. I like to talk to him while I'm almost at that last bite. Oh, and I dip it in that ranch. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for what you're doing. And some of you, you pray when you get up in the morning, and you pray as you go along the way, and you know, you pray when you go to bed, and you talk about Jesus along the way. And while you're at the job and you're working, you're talking about how good God is, and you talk to God to your husband, and you talk to God to your wife, and you talk to God to your children, and you talk to God to your grandchildren, you talk to God across with your neighbor, and you're thinking about God. God, when you're deciding whether or not you're going to go on vacation because you can't miss worship service. So you're scheduling your time because you don't ever want to dishonor God, because I want to let you know I thought and I love you, and I know obedience is important to you. What I'm saying is, it's not a surface level love. To obey deeply means that God takes up every hour of your day. He's always on your lips. And before you make your next decision tonight, or whatever you decide you're going to do this summer, or where you finna go, before you spend that next dollar, before you decide to invite that person into your life, before you do anything, before you make any major decisions of whether or not you're going to move here or stop there or do this, you're going to think about me. The first time I ever heard about God repenting. And I'm done. First time I ever heard about God repenting, I ran down the hallway and I knocked on my father's door. And I said, "Daddy, why is God repenting? I thought he didn't sin." And the first time I understood about repentance, my father explained this text, because I was reading Genesis. And he says, "Son," and I'm going to tell you what he told me, and the lesson be yours. He says, "Son, God is not repenting because he sinned. God repented because he's hurt. And he's been hurt so long by what they were doing. God said, I don't want to keep walking in this relationship another day like this. So the whole purpose of Noah in the ark is because God was hurt that they never thought about him. And the emergence of Noah is that out of everybody in the world, Noah was the only one that God looked at and said, I'll hold my wrath, because at least I got, God was looking for hope. At least I got one person that at least will listen to me and consider me. In this cesspool of a world that we live in, full of sin, pain, and darkness, can God count on you to keep him in your thoughts and in your frame, and you don't allow other things to remove him out of your heart? I don't know where you are on this evening, but if you realize I have not been walking with God like I should, if there's anything you need to get straight, if there's anything you need to repent of, if there's anything that you need to say to God on tonight where you say, oh God, I'm sorry. I've been so distracted and full of my own stuff. I don't even read my Bible no more. Lord, I come to worship, I don't even bring a Bible. It's like it's, ain't no reader. I listen to lessons. I don't read, and I don't spend time with you. Some of you, your prayer life has dropped off. You don't really pray like you should. Some of you going through the routine, but you ain't in love. You showing up to anniversaries, and the restaurant looks nice, but you just there in body, but your heart ain't there. God wants you to love him deeply, because he sent his son to die on the cross for you. What I'm saying is, like, I love you. And what you don't realize, it hurts me to love somebody that don't love you back. So if you're here and you have the opportunity to get it right, because you don't know how many more sunsets you have. You don't know how many more sunrises you're going to experience. The breaths in your body are already counted. The days, they're already numbered. And while he's giving you this space, don't you want to get it right? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, oh, please believe. It is our prayer and our intention you give your life to Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. Oh, don't delay. Because he loves you. He really does. He loves you. He's been keeping you. He's been waiting for you to see his act of love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. You have the opportunity tonight. If you just follow Jesus' teaching, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you've heard the gospel and believe that he loves you and he's made that sacrifice, if you want to turn around and go in a different direction, you can do that tonight. This invitation is given to you. I thank you so much for listening, being attentive. And I pray that through the various scriptures and illustrations, we'll all take a few steps closer to Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, let's stand. When we pray, let's pray. Let us stand. Holy and righteous God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for your endurance. We ask you, dear Father, on tonight that you keep us, that you watch over us. Be with those, dear Father, that may have sinned. Please forgive them, dear Father, for any error that has been made. Dear Father, please be with those, dear Father, that are trying to make a decision of whether or not they want to give their life to you. But be with us all, dear God, that we will learn to love you the way you desire to be loved, that we may love you purely. We thank you, dear Father, for the time that you've given us to right anything that has been deemed wrong. Thank you, God, for your love and correction. Thank you, God, for what you have allowed. And we thank you, God, for what you have prevented. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.